I hate to break it to you, but what people call love is just a chemical reaction that compels animals to breed. It hits hard, Morty, then it slowly fades, leaving you stranded in a failing marriage. I did it. Your parents are gonna do it. Break the cycle, Morty. Rise above. Focus on science.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Enemies of Man series. This is going to be the last installment. Not the last video, there may be a follow-up video after this. But this is going to be the last major issue I'm going to talk about in this series. And that is the male sex drive. Now when compared to the dominance instinct, or the ego, it may seem like the male sex drive is the most shallow, the most superfluous. Because we have more or less direct control over how we respond to it. Whereas dominance and ego or more unconscious. But I wanted to save this for last because this one is probably the most dramatically opposed to male interests. And this is why. When you look at male and female dynamics, there is so little that a woman brings to a man's life. Why would a man put up with women's shit, ever? Think about when you were a small child, before you hit puberty. You probably wanted nothing to do with women. Girls annoyed the shit out of you. You may have thrown dirt at them and called them poopy face. But the point is you really wanted nothing to do with girls. They were so different. They were into none of the things that made you happy. But then puberty happened. You started having all these hormones flood your brain, and all of a sudden you're bathing in Axe body spray and trying to get laid. And this is the point. These instincts, the sex drive, is so powerful in men. And the reason why it has to be so powerful is so that men associate with women who, if you look at it objectively, contribute little to nothing to a man's life. Now, I've made this point in several videos, but let me just reiterate it. Women need men. They will die without men. Men do not need women. Now, some people have argued, like some egalitarians and so forth, talking about, well, men need women to have children. That's true. But men don't need to have children. If you never get laid, if you just go celibate your entire life, like, you know, a priest or something, you're not going to die prematurely. You're not going to suffer any health consequences from not getting laid. If you don't have children your entire life, nothing bad's going to happen to you. You may want to have children and may be unable to if there aren't enough women or if you're ugly or something like that, but you don't have to have children. Having children, having sex are not needs. You're not going to suffer if you don't accomplish them. They're just like goals. They're like becoming rich. You know, you may want to travel the world, but you may not be able to because you can't afford it. You may want to have a family, but you may not be able to because you can't afford it. These are not needs. Men don't need women. So the question becomes, why would men provide these services in the first place when women have very little to offer other than sex? Well, nature provides the answer. It gives men a much more powerful sex drive. We inherently value sex more than women. Now, that doesn't mean women don't value sex. They just value sex less. And they exploit the fact that men value sex far more. So it allows them to bring what little they have to offer to the table and get a lot more for it than they would if the male sex drive was equal to women's. In the past, I've made the point that men have a sex drive about 2 to 3 times or 200-300% more powerful than women's. For this video, I actually tried to track down original sources and get the actual statistics. Now, the original sources are behind paywalls or they're from books and stuff like that, but the secondary sources I'm going to be linking to are going to have quotes and references from the original sources, so they will be in the references. So in a nutshell, comparing gay couples to straight couples to lesbian couples, gay male couples have far more sex. Straight male couples are kind of in the middle, and lesbians have the least amount of sex. In fact, the term for this is called lesbian bed death. And the reason why it's called that is because lesbians just don't have that much sex. They just don't. Despite what porn may teach you, women aren't just going to town on dildos on each other all day. So the first major source was a book published in 1983 by Schwartz and Blumstein, which concluded that lesbian couples in committed relationships have less sex than any other type of couple, heterosexual, married, heterosexual, cohabitating, or gay male. and it reports that 47% of lesbians in long-term relationships had sex once a month or less, compared to 15% of heterosexual couples. 47 versus 15, and gay male couples have even more sex than heterosexual couples. Another study from the Journal of Sexual Medicine, quoted in the Daily Beast, says, quote, 22% more homosexual male couples who have been together for 2 years or less have sex at least 3 times a week more than heterosexual couples who have been together for 2 years or less. 3 times more than heterosexual couples. So we look at 47% of lesbian couples have almost no sex, compared to 15% of heterosexual couples, and homosexual couples have 3 times more sex than heterosexual couples. In fact, just based on table napkin math, if we just compare lesbians to gay male couples and just conclude that that is a rough calculation of how much more powerful the male sex drive is, the male sex drive is 9.4 times more powerful in men than it is in women. Now, again, it doesn't mean that women never have sex or don't enjoy sex when they're into it. It just means they want it a lot less. Women just don't want sex that often. Now, this is why women are able to use the sex drive to manipulate men. I talked about this in my video about social intelligence. All social intelligence is women using the male sex drive to manipulate men. They're not more intelligent than men. Men are just far more likely to defer to women because they're trying to get laid. You know, this whole thing about the monks versus the purple pillars and stuff like that. It's not always about sex, but it is based on the sex drive. And I'll explain it this way. Think about, again, when you were a kid, before puberty, you really wanted nothing to do with girls. You really didn't care what girls thought of you. They were icky, they had cooties. Once puberty hit, you suddenly cared what women thought of you. Even if you're not interested in having sex with a particular woman, you still care what she thinks of you. You still value female validation, even if you're not trying to get laid. This need, this desire, this pleasure we derive from female validation is based on the sex drive, even if we're not trying to get laid. So when you see a male feminist just shamelessly pandering to women and throwing his own gender under the bus, he's not necessarily trying to get his dick wet in some lesbian hairy snatch. He may just be looking for female validation because that validation gives him pleasure. So when we talk about, you know, these guys who kind of dip their toe in the MGTOW pool, but they're still dating, still looking for the one, on the hunt for the mythical Nawalt. They are sometimes accused of being addicted to pussy and all this other shit and trying to get laid. They are addicted to pussy, but it's not necessarily about sex. It's about validation. They're chasing women because that validation gives them pleasure. Not necessarily sexual pleasure, but it tickles the part in their brain, which is based on the sex drive. This is why when we see a beautiful woman, we want to go out of our way to help them. It doesn't matter whether we're asexual, whether we're in a relationship or whatever. I mean, our wife or girlfriend could be right there. We're still going to be nice to a beautiful woman. This is based on the sex drive. Now, this is why sometimes you're just being nice or whatever, and your girlfriend or wife or something will accuse you of flirting with her. Because she sees what you're doing. She sees how you're being nice to this beautiful woman right in front of her. Now, you're not trying to have sex with her. If she said, hey, you want to go fuck in the bathroom? You're probably like, no, my girlfriend's right here. What are you talking about? Oh, give me 5 minutes. But the point is, even if you're not trying to have sex with her, you want to be kind to her. This is why beautiful women like Jodi Arias, who was found guilty of brutally murdering her boyfriend, was not sentenced to death. This is why young, attractive women who rape their babies aren't thrown in jail for life, or at least have to register as sex offenders for life, just like a man would in that circumstance. Because when a woman is young and attractive, men want to take care of her. They want that validation because of the sex drive. It is so powerful. It is 9.4 times more powerful. And nature did this to men to facilitate reproduction. All these instincts I've talked about, dominance, ego, the sex drive, instincts in general are designed to facilitate two things, survival and reproduction. That's all that matters. When it comes to life in general, all that matters is survival and reproduction. Self-actualization is just one of those things that we strive for, but it's not built into our DNA. It's not required for life. I mean, you think of most life is unintelligent. You talk about viruses and plants and so forth. They don't give a shit about self-actualization. They're just trying to survive and reproduce. This is the basic instinct for all life. And if you want the starkest example of this, female suffrage. Now, female suffrage is where we fucked up in the West, in a democratic society. When we gave women the right to vote, we really fucked up. Because women are going to be more or less 50% of any population. It's just kind of how things shake out in nature. And when you give women the right to vote in a democratic society, they now have half the voting pool. And because they value security more than freedom, because they have an own group bias, and they're hypergamous, you guarantee yourself a massive government, which is going to seize wealth and have all this welfare redistribution, all this other bullshit. Now, that may be good if you favor that kind of government, but your freedom is going to be forfeit in that government. And the worst part is, once you give women the right to vote, you can never take it back. You can't like, oh, we fucked up, let's have another vote and take your votes away. The women will be like, no, I don't want my vote taken away. I vote for keeping my vote, thank you very much. And it's over. Now, why in the late 1800s, early 1900s, did men give women the right to vote? Surely they were being manipulated by Marxists and Jewish bankers and lesbian feminists and all this other stuff, right? They couldn't possibly have just done this of their own free will based on their sex drive, right? Well, the push for women's equality, for female suffrage, where we really screwed the pooch in Western civilization, started in Wyoming in 1869. Kind of ironic that it ends in 69, but it'll help you remember the date. So in Wyoming in 1869, Wyoming was the first state to give women the right to vote. Now, why did they give women the right to vote? Why Wyoming? Wyoming isn't particularly progressive. So here's an article from History.com, which talks about this historical day. The article says, quote, in Wyoming, some men were also motivated by sheer loneliness. In 1869, the territory had over 6,000 adult males and only 1,000 females. An area men hoped women would be more likely to settle in the rugged and isolated country if they were granted the right to vote, unquote. And that's how the snowball, which would eventually destroy Western civilization, started. Because thirsty men wanted to get laid. They weren't being manipulated by Marxist or lesbian feminists. They were just thirsty. And in their thirst, they destroyed the civilization that they built. Now, and this shouldn't be a shock. I mean, think about all the times your dick got you into trouble. When you were, quote, thinking with your dick. When you were making poor decisions based on your dick. The women you got into relationships with. Just think about the crazy ex-girlfriends you've had. All kinds of red flags. And yet, you ignored them because you were trying to get laid. She was fine or hot or whatever. And you just went forward. And in hindsight, you see what a bad idea it was. You saw all the red flags were there, but you ignored them because you were in love or whatever. Now, I'm not saying love doesn't exist. Obviously, love exists between, you know, family and children and things like that. People love things. People love people. But this idea of being in love, this puppy love, infatuation, lust, these tingles you get when your heart skips a beat, all of these are just chemical processes in your brain to facilitate reproduction. When you fall in love with someone, when you just think about them all the time, this is your brain flooding you with chemicals to make you feel high. In fact, they've done studies. This is like being on cocaine. When you fall in love, quote unquote, it's like being high on cocaine. You are addicted to this woman. And this is completely designed to get you to reproduce. It's designed to get you to lower your guard and reproduce, because that is the function of this instinct, to survive and reproduce. It doesn't care what happens to you afterwards. It doesn't care that we have a gynocentric system. You're going to be put in baby jail. You're going to be living out of your car. They don't care. Your instincts don't care. They want you to reproduce. So like in my other videos, let's talk about solutions. Now, the male sex drive is very powerful. So what can we do to control it? Well, it becomes easier when you get older. I fall more on the monk side personally, but I don't judge people who want to get laid and want to have a relationship because I've been there. You know, when I was in my 20s, I was still looking to get laid. I was still looking for the Nawalt. Even though I had a lot of bad experiences, sex was that important to me. When the sex drive has you, when the sex drive is behind the steering wheel, there's not a lot you can do. Now, some people tell me, you know, nofap and stuff like that. I don't know. My problem with nofap is that if you're not at least jerking off, you're going to have what's called a wet dream. And if you're not familiar with that, because you've basically been jerking off since you were a teenager, if you don't jerk off for like a couple weeks, you're going to just basically be sleeping, and then you're just going to come in your underpants, just in the middle of the night. And now you have two choices. You can get up in the middle of the night, change your underpants, possibly change your sheets, depending on how big your load was, or sleep in your cum stain, like a dirty prostitute. And neither of those options appeal to me. I really don't want to sleep in my cum stain or get up in the middle of the night to change my underpants and sheets. So I just prefer to jerk off. I don't do it like a fiend. Now, when I was like a teenager and in my early 20s, I used to jerk off a lot, like 5 times a day. I used to jerk off like somebody bet me that I couldn't. But, you know, now I only do it like every other day or so. It's not a big deal. It's just like, you know, I get the urge. So you throw on some Pornhub, you just get the poison out. As Bill Burr said, you rub one out like a man. It's the champagne of victory. What also helped me personally, and hopefully this helps you, if any of my solutions don't work for you because they're based on my personal experience, I do apologize. You just may have to find what works for you. What worked for me may not work for you. But one of the things that helped me was I didn't enjoy sex that was shallow and meaningless. I wanted to have sex with a woman that I cared about, a woman that I loved. Shallow one-night stands with hot women just, you know, it felt good. But there was just something missing. Once you understand female nature, once you understand that women don't really love men, they just love what you can do for them and what you have, they love external things, they don't love you. Because if those external things go away, they fall out of love with you. Nature did this to men. It's unfortunate, but it's true. You take away the mystery, the mystique of love. And once you take that away, it's like knowing how the magic trick works. Once you understand that these are just instincts your body tricks you with to get you to reproduce. Because nature made men disposable. I mean, we are a tournament species. A lot of people are like, oh no, we're a pair bonding species. No, we're fucking not. If we were a pair bonding species, we wouldn't need marriage. We have these institutions because men don't want to stick around because we're not a pair bonding species. When you look at birds and stuff like that that are pair bonding, you notice two things. There's no sexual dimorphism, or there's very little sexual dimorphism, and there's no government. I mean, there's never any government in animals. But you see that these pair bonding species don't need a reason to stay together. They just do. Humans don't. We need these institutions to force us to stay together for the good of society. It doesn't mean we're entirely a tournament species either. We're somewhere in the middle, but it's not 50-50. I would say it's closer to 70-30. And the reason why I say that is based on our sexual dimorphism and our relationship habits. You look at the way men and women reproduce and form relationships. The fact that a single man can have many women, in fact, historically, polygamy was very common, where a man had many wives or concubines. This was extremely common based on male scarcity due to war. There were just fewer men than women. And this again plays into the fact that humans are largely a tournament species. We go to war, we kill our fellow man, and we take their women for ourselves. This is part of the tournament. Nature made men inherently more disposable than women due to the dynamics of sexual reproduction, but it also made men, due to our disposability, bigger, stronger, smarter, etc. You see this in sexually dimorphic species, like the peacock. The male peacock has these beautiful feathers in order to attract mates, but also to attract predators. The male peacock uses its feathers to drive predators away from the drab, brownish female so that the female can survive and take care of young. Now, that's not fair to the male peacock. He didn't ask to have a big target on his back from predators. I mean, I don't know what the actual statistics are, but I would imagine that male peacocks get killed far more than female peacocks because female peacocks can blend into their environment and survive from predators and hunters or whatever. Whereas male peacocks, because they're so bright and beautiful, get fucking shot or eaten all the time. But this is an example of male disposability in nature. So we have these beautiful feathers. As humans, we have intelligence and strength. We are biologically superior to women in many regards, but we are made that way because we are disposable. And this is balanced. It's not fair. It's not equal, but it's balanced. And one of the big messages of my channel, and I've talked about this through several videos, and it's probably going to be one of the central themes of my channel, is that when we embrace egalitarianism or equality, we actually disrupt the balance. And when we treat women equally to men, we actually just fuck over men, who retain the disadvantages imposed on them from nature, but now have the authority and power stripped from them giving away the power and authority that comes with the responsibility while maintaining the responsibility, which is fucking bullshit. But the problem isn't nature. If you understand nature, you understand how things are supposed to work. You see this in animal species all over. Most animal species that have sexual dimorphism, which favors the male, are patriarchal. For a very good reason. I talked about this in my case for patriarchy video. But it's balanced. It's okay. It's okay that women can't compete against men. They're not supposed to. Now, I don't think on a broad scale, men are ever going to just control their sex drive to the point where they will actually be able to take back society, as it were. I mean, just like in Wyoming, you're going to have these thirsty men who are going to throw their lot behind women in order to get laid, or at least for female validation, to be patted on the head and told they're a good man. That's just going to be there. The solution, ultimately, is to basically get rid of the need for women entirely, to use artificial wombs or cloning or something like that to make sure that men can reproduce without women. So women no longer have the monopoly on who gets to have babies or not. Because not everybody wants babies in the first place, but whatever. The point is right now women have a monopoly on who has a baby. And this heavily favors them, this monopoly. We've covered a lot in this video. I know I've ranted and gone on a few side tangents. But the male sex drive is extremely important. Understanding it is important. Controlling it is even more important. And if you are addicted to women, you need to be aware of the dangers you're in. Now, just like anyone with an addiction, if you watch like any of these intervention shows, people's like, oh, I can stop at any time. And then they fuck themselves over and make really poor decisions. And this is why, you know, channels like Messenger Rising warn men to be wise, not make these bad decisions. And if you still choose to date, if you still choose to hunt the mythical Nawalt, I wish you all the luck. I hope you find the Nawalt someday. I don't think she's out there, but I wish you all the best. But be wise, take care of yourself, and be careful. So, this is Turd Flinging Monkey. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.